in some seismic industry-changing news, Warner Brothers has decided that their entire 2021 release calendar is going to be released split, both in theaters and on HBO Max, on the same day at the exact same time. Is this the death of movie theaters as we know it? We're going to break it all down and let you know our thoughts and opinions on it coming up.
Cannonball!
Did you rub my lamp?
Thousand generations to the leader.
Here we go.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? And welcome to Film Speak, where the conversation continues after the credits. If this is our first time meeting, hey, my name is Griffin Schiller. I'm an LA-based entertainment journalist and film critic. And if you want to be a part of that conversation, you're definitely in the right place. Consider subscribing to the channel for more insight, analysis, and interviews behind your favorite movies and other pieces of entertainment. So, yes, if you haven't heard, maybe it's just a film Twitter thing, or maybe it's just like, you know, people who really pay attention to the entertainment industry. Warner Brothers has really done something that is going to have lasting effects on the industry. And it's all due to the fact that we're in this weird state right now, this pandemic, and, you know, release dates and films are being continuously pushed back, and studios are basically trying to figure out what is the right move for us as a company, as a business. And so they have decided, and I think we sort of saw the writing on the wall a little bit here when they decided to release Wonder Woman 1984, both in theaters and on HBO Max on Christmas Day. They've decided that they're going to do that exact same thing with their entire 2021 release calendar. The news broke this morning, and we're going to break it down for you here in a second. But I am not doing this alone. I am joined by the great Sean Chandler from Sean Chandler Talks About. Sean, how's it going?
I'm doing good. It's big movie news. Like one of those ones that was like, oh, wow, they're going for it.
Yeah.
That is quite the bombshell. Because normally people wait to see the results of the experiment before going all in. They just went all in.
Yeah.
So it should be a fun one to talk about.
Yeah, and I guess that's before we even get into this article, it's sort of just like what you just brought up is the fascinating thing about this. You know, I could see this happening maybe December 30th or something like
right.
that, 5 days after mm-hmm. Wonder Woman 1984 came out, and they have returns in and they have enough data. But I guess that the projections for how that movie is going to perform with a split release is causing them to think that, oh, you know, maybe maybe we should do this with literally everything that's coming out next year, which is just wild to me, you know?
Right. I mean, that's just the part that's astounding, is that they're confident enough that without even waiting 3 weeks to see what happens, they're just going for it.
Yeah.
And with everything for the whole year and fully announced it. And me and you have been talking about this for 6 months that, you know, some of the studios, they need to decide what they're going to do and make a hard decision and actually stick to it.
Right.
WB's doing that. So on that hand, it's like, all right, you're making a bold, confident choice. I can respect that.
Well, and this is sort of what we've been, you know, basically saying that the studios should have considered for a long time. And we didn't say that they should have sacrificed, well, maybe not sacrificed, but done this for their entire slate coming up. But in like some of the films that are coming out this year, like something like a Dune or like Wonder Woman, which they inevitably did. And we weren't just saying this for like Warner Brothers, but like for all of the studios, like Disney with Black Widow and stuff, we were saying that they should be at least considering mm-hmm. a split release model of, you know, yes, releasing it in theaters, but also giving people who aren't able to go to the theaters or who don't feel comfortable going to the theaters for safety reasons, the opportunity to see it at home. And Warner Brothers just went in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is, you know, we'll get into it when I pull up the article from the Hollywood Reporter and everything, but this is sort of the way I think the industry was already going, with many of the studios coming out with their own streaming services. But the pandemic that we're in just sort of accelerated everything
yep.
tenfold.
All the language about Disney Plus was that this was the future of Disney, what they're heading towards. 2020 just confirmed that. But WB established themselves as the trendsetter, as the one that's ahead of everybody else. They made a move that's so bold that if anyone else starts to do this, now they're copying. I even saw some of the discussion on Twitter, like, oh, this is probably what Disney's going to do with Black Widow. And then the discussion follow-up was, well, is Disney going to, they're just going to copy WB? Disney's known for being innovative, like trying things. Are they just going to copy? In which case, WB, in a certain way, has positioned themselves either to be the geniuses or the jokers of all of this and however this plays out. And if all the movie theaters close down as a result of this, they're to blame for it. Or if they're the people that discover the future of the industry, they're the ones that went first.
Yeah. Well, I think that what's really interesting about this is it doesn't indicate that this is the death of movie theaters. And I think movie theaters, you know, regardless if entertainment is going the way of streaming, movie theaters are always going to be around. Our good friend of the show, or Film Speak contributor and good friend of the show, Kalina, she was talking about earlier today on Twitter. She mentioned the fact that it's almost like movie theaters are going to be a thing. They're going to be in a different sort of marketplace. It's similar to how, you know, where vinyl is right now and a lot of the stuff that's sort of like in that realm. Movie theaters are going to be that nostalgia piece of entertainment that's around for like big tentpole releases and people will eventually be able to go to. But it isn't, you know, what everything is,
right.
You know, not everything's going to be released in a movie theater or something, but there will be that hardcore audience that is going to theaters the same way there's that hardcore audience that picks up vinyl or the people who collect physical media or stuff like that. And I think that's a really interesting way of thinking about it because it does seem like that is the way this whole thing is going. Like many, like people younger than me, like the Gen Z era, they're exclusively watching stuff, on streaming. They right. You know, even when theaters were around, they were barely going out unless it was like Avengers Endgame, you know?
Right. I mean, that's where you start to realize how different things are going to be. That you have a generation that are used to watching movies like this and it's not weird.
Yeah.
Like I'm old enough, I could never sit down and watch a movie on my phone. I can barely watch a movie on my laptop if I'm not like in a car ride or something like that. But you have a generation that's just totally normal to them of sitting in bed, watching a movie like this. And so it just dramatically changes what your expectations are for movies and things like that. And, you know, I worked with teenagers for a long time. And in the latter years, I would have these conversations where like, oh yeah, I just got a bootleg and I was watching that on my laptop and they were saying this. I was like, what are you talking about? You're like the biggest Avengers fan that I know. And you watched Age of Ultron, a bootleg copy that someone videotaped in China on your laptop. What are you? And they're just, like, their expectations of quality is different. And, and I think you just have a series of these little pieces that are working towards that. But you just look at the industry overall over the last 10, 15 years where there's been just such a push towards event films that escalating budgets with the expectation of making more and more money to where, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 2 makes $700 million and people are like, that's kind of a disappointment. We thought it would make a billion. You're like, that's crazy. But that's what it just keeps escalating. Or Birds of Prey only makes $214 million on an $85 million budget. And, you know, it's a bomb. It's a bomb. Because the expectations are so high and it's squishing out all mid-budget films. Those are getting pushed to streaming. They're getting pushed to television. Television just in general is getting really, really good.
Yeah.
You're having a lot more of these 8-hour miniseries that are just fantastic, have amazing production value. And that's where kind of those mid-budget thriller adult dramas are showing up a lot more than in the theaters. And this just seems like one more piece to that of movie theaters are for events.
Yeah.
They are for spectacle you want to see on a big screen. And everything else is on Netflix, HBO Max, and wherever else.
Well, that's one of the reasons why Netflix is so appealing to filmmakers like Martin Scorsese, like filmmakers like David Fincher, because they can't get their projects made in the studio system anymore because, you know, either their projects are too expensive or the studios just don't think that they're going to be able to get the returns from it or whatever. And I agree with you. And I feel like this, it's not a bad thing because we are still going to get these incredible pieces of entertainment. It's just not going to be in the way that we've always consumed them. Now, I'm sure that they'll be able to work out ways where there are limited theatrical runs. Maybe even some of the studios will have their own theater chains, which will be kind of this whole thing going full circle back to when like the studio system had them. Yeah, which is bizarre to think about. But like, you know, it's something that could very well happen. You know, the ones that are really adamant about preserving that cinematic experience, like a Disney, for instance, might buy a theater chain, and then boom, there we go, and they are the crusaders of the theatrical experience and stuff like that. I don't know, just a whole bunch of stuff there. But going back to what you were saying. Yeah, it's just we're still going to get all this content. It's just going to be different the way we consume it. And I think that the home theater marketplace, oh my God, is going to explode in like probably like within the next month or so. People want to have that great at home experience, and if they can build something at home that feels, you know, somewhat comparable to going to the movies, it's never going to be quite the same. But if they can get it, you know, just that little bit closer, I think it's gonna really get people excited for that.
Modern home theater systems in a lot of ways provide a better experience than a lot of theaters out there.
You're not
if
wrong.
You go to a high-end theater, of course, you can't beat a high-end theater. You can't beat an IMAX at home. But your average theater that's getting a little bit older, that hasn't been renovated, maybe they haven't changed their bulbs out or whatever, your home HD TV is probably brighter, crisper, and everything about it. If you have a theater that's not run great and they allow crappy behavior, people on their phones and stuff like that, the home experience is better in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The thing that you can't get at home the vast majority of the time is the community experience.
Right. I mean, the only thing that you really can't replicate is that communal experience. But you invite enough people over when you're able to, and you can sort of get that same energy to a different extent. But you're right, because one of the biggest things is that the theaters, they've sort of lost their incentive for caring about the exhibitors. That when you go to a theater and they're all like, you know, dirty, and like people are talking and no one's enforcing people on their cell phones and stuff like that, you know, you cut out all that crap and you're able to have like like you were saying, a better experience watching that film at home than if you were to watch it at the theater. And you know, taking cinephiles out of this, that's what I think the general public would prefer. I mean, I know growing up for me, I mean, this is back into the early 2000s. One of my best friends growing up, his dad invested in home theater equipment, like went all in. And obviously, you know, stuff has changed since then. But he was like, you know, if we can watch this stuff at home and like forgo the crap that we have to deal with in the theaters, why not? And honestly, I get where he was coming from now, because the theaters have just they don't care anymore about that experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we ever do go back to a time where this whole model goes away and going back to the theaters is the new norm, or not the new norm, but it is the norm for consuming films, I really hope they take a look and reconsider the experience that they're presenting to people who are already paying an arm and a leg to go see these pieces of entertainment.
That's like, I went to go see Bill and Ted 3 at one of the theaters, and they just opened back up after, you know, months being closed. And it's one of these sit down, waiter comes to you. And we went to it, and they started the previews 15 minutes early. And we didn't think anything of it. We just assumed like, oh, I guess they're running trailers instead of normally they run older trailers. Didn't think much of it. And then the movie started 2 minutes before its start time. And then we get to the end of it. We've ordered food. The credits are rolling. And we're like, no one's brought us our ticket yet to leave. And the guy comes up to us. He goes, oh, you can't leave. You can't leave. You can't leave. The movie ended before we thought it was going to end because they started it early and they wouldn't let us leave. And so we're like, what is going on here?
Very strange.
And instead of being like, hey, we'll give you a discount, I'm so sorry, it was like, they just charged us full after delaying us, starting the movie at the wrong time and everything. It's just like a bad experience. And at the same theater, it's where I went to go see Captain America Winter Soldier in the movie was out of focus a little bit. Actually, Bill and Ted was out of focus a little bit. It's like,
yeah, I remember you talking about that. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a theater that consistently drops the ball.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And that was actually a total rabbit trail. Every experience I've had at an AMC theater is fantastic. And for whatever reason, they're the one that's like going out of business. We don't have a lot of them here in town. So I went to a new one recently that just opened up that's not too far from my place. Fantastic theater. Clean. Everything about it is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And they're about to go bankrupt. Anyway, back to the subject at hand.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even in a place like L.A., where I can tell you right off the bat, the way theaters operate there are 100% different to how they operate when I lived in Maryland, or even when I was in Indiana, where it was like, whew, it was really, really bad. Like, going to the theaters was like, it was like, why am I doing this other than to see the film on the big screen? The whole experience was garbage. Yeah. But like, when you go to a theater out here, like, yeah, I think sometimes the big chains can be a little bit dirty, but it is like there is a certain level of quality that you get consistently across the board, which you don't get that everywhere. But before we go any further in on this debate, be sure to let us know your thoughts and opinions on anything we're talking about in the chat live, if you're watching this live, or down in the comment section below if you're watching this on the replay. We are now going to get into the actual article here that was, I believe, broken by Boris Kitt over at The Hollywood Reporter. But we're going to go through this thing, and we're going to break it down as best we can for you all, so you know what to expect going forward. So right off the bat, Warner Brothers smashes box office windows, will send their entire 2021 slate to HBO Max. Unbelievable move, completely unprecedented. So there, and we'll just sort of go through this article a little bit. So Warner Brothers is plotting a sweeping response to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, which has shuttered movie theaters around the country, after announcing that Wonder Woman 1984 will go to HBO Max as well as theaters December 25th. The studio has laid out a similar path for its 2021 slate, and uncertainty about when movie going will get back to normal. So that is a 17 film slate. Here, let me highlight that for you all. 17 film slate, which will hit HBO Max. Now, it should be noted that while they are doing this split release, while they're going to be releasing these movies in theaters and on HBO Max on the same day and time, they will only be available on HBO Max for 31 days. So there is a little bit of an exclusivity to being able to watch those films on HBO Max, because obviously they have other obligations to go other places, afterwards. And then obviously they'll still be playing in theaters. But the entire slate, we're going to highlight this here. There's a lot of films on here, but the entire slate includes projects such as The Suicide Squad, The Matrix 4, Dune, Godzilla versus Kong, and Space Jam: A New Legacy, with other films including Little Things, Judas and the Black Messiah, Tom and Jerry, Mortal Kombat, Those Who Wish Me Dead, The Conjuring 3, or The Conjuring: The Devil Made Me Do It, In the Heights, Reminiscent, Malignant, The Many Saints of Newark, which I believe is The Sopranos prequel, King Richard, and Cry Macho. So those are all the films mentioned in the article that are heading to HBO Max next year. Let's get into some quotes here from the people involved directly with Warner Brothers. So Toby Emmerich, Warner Brothers Pictures Group Chairman, argued the move would be good for the theatrical business in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter. And this is what he says here. Let me make sure I highlight it for you all. It allows us to do a global release and a national release in what we think is going to be a checkerboard theatrical marketplace for the bulk of 2021. We think where theaters are open and consumers can go, that a lot of people will choose to go to that theater, especially for big movies. Despite word of coming vaccines, the company decided to push their entire 2021 slate to HBO Max after consulting with epidemiologists, which is another key point here that I don't think enough people are talking about. They consulted with the professionals about, okay, if we're going to release movies in 2021, what's the best way to do this? And they were like, yeah, you know, maybe consider doing something like this, where you can still get it out internationally in theaters, and then you can also get it to people who aren't able to go to the theaters, which is exactly what Emmerich says here. He says the move was to, quote, guarantee as many movies as we could for the year for the global theatrical marketplace, which, you know, Sean, you and I have been talking about this the entire year, putting films on a shelf and just waiting for them to, you know, inevitably see the light of day when the world has, quote unquote, healed. They're losing money by doing that, you know.
And it's in a complicated way. Like right off the bat, that they make money by putting out movies. They've already invested money and borrowed money for 2020, anticipating revenue from those movies. And that's already not happening. And there's not an immediate future where it seems like we'll be back to normal. And so they need revenue. That's, you just have to understand, they're a business. They need revenue. That's not being greedy, needing revenue. Beyond that, they borrow money to finance these, like 17 movies. That is an enormous amount of money to make that happen. So they borrow money and they owe interest on the money that they've borrowed, but they don't have revenue on it yet.
Yeah.
So it's a complex thing as to, like, why are they doing this and why don't they just wait? Okay, there's a lot of moving pieces. And you can't just keep pushing backwards because they're just sitting on 20, like, all these movies that were supposed to come out in 2020, they're just sitting on them. Plus, they've been making new movies, and every other studio is in the same situation. And you can't just release 2 years worth of movies in 1 year. So it's real complicated as to why we're in the situation. But yeah, they need revenue, and they have to start getting these out there somehow.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then going back to the article here, let me pull it up. They don't, you know, another question sort of comes, you know, how is the revenue split going to work with the theaters? You know, obviously if Warner Brothers is deciding to go down this road, then theaters will have a bigger chunk, they'll have, you know, be able to take a bigger chunk of that, exhibition revenue, to which, you know, the article says that they don't, you know, Emmerich didn't comment on the terms that we're giving, but, he was excited for other studios to share their own plans, saying, having movies out there is good for cinemas, which is, you know, in line with what they were doing when they were trying to release Tenet earlier, this year, which I actually think this is the interesting thing about that. They released Tenet to try and get other studios to do a similar thing, to like kind of piggyback off of that and be like, listen, guys, we broke the water for you all. Let's start trying to help out the theaters and get movies back. No one really did that because they didn't want to waste their money. And so they went back to the drawing board and they made this whole arrangement. And now they're hoping that other studios kind of follow suit. But here's the catch. If they don't follow suit, HBO Max becomes the only place that you can see new movies, and it becomes the must-have streaming service out of all of them. So this is not only a good play just, you know, for the, you know, for us, the consumers who want to see new movies. This is an excellent play for Warner Brothers to generate, you know, more traffic to HBO Max.
Right.
And for all those people who are going to, you know, maybe dump HBO Max after Wonder Woman 1984 came out, you have this entire year worth of films that you're going to get if you maintain that subscription.
Yeah, I did a video ranking the streaming services a week ago.
Yeah.
And one of the big things I talked about with HBO Max is that they haven't had great originals as of yet. They've had some things that are interesting, but they all feel kind of niche. They don't have the big stuff, broad appeal, attract people, must watch for a lot of people. They haven't had that. And that's what this is. I mean, that's usually like,
yeah,
if you start with Wonder Woman and for the next 12 months, every month you are getting 1.5 real quality, noticeable stuff.
Yeah.
Suddenly, well, oh yeah, it's that makes sense to have that. The cost of one movie ticket for one of us covers the cost for the service for the month, but we're a whole family, or me and my roommate, or whatever it is. It just starts to make a lot of sense to get a lot of subscribers. And the one that always kind of, in my mind, some people are like, oh, I guess I won't see Wonder Woman because I don't have HBO Max. Like, that sort of thing doesn't even make sense to me. If you don't have HBO Max, sign up for it for a month. Like, and if you don't have to keep it, you can always just cancel these things left and right. I do that all the time. I've been doing that with HBO ever since they first did HBO Now. I would sign up for 3 months when Westworld came on, and then I would cancel it whenever they're until the, you know, like Watchmen came on, and they signed back up for it. And then I canceled it for 2 months until Westworld came back. And so I don't understand where people don't just normally do that with these services. So, yeah, I mean, this really positions HBO Max as potentially the best of the bunch for 2021.
Well, and I've always been saying that I people have said, oh, they don't have enough original content. And I would rebuke that by saying, yeah, but look at their legacy content. Like no one is on that level. They have all of the HBO Max catalog. Mm-hmm. They get all of the HBO movies rotated in and out as you would get if you had HBO and then some. They have TCM. It's like it has become my go-to for streaming. I mean, like Netflix I'll go to for their originals and like The Office and stuff like that. But even they're not going to have The Office next year. That's going back to Peacock. So it's like, you know, Netflix.
Now a new top contender because, you know, Office is the show that we all binge all the time.
Right,
so
right.
Now Peacock is like the number three right up there with Netflix.
Yeah, right. Which is really interesting because I don't know if you've been following like sort of like the Nielsen numbers of like the you know, how well the streaming services have been doing with their programmed content. But like The Mandalorian obviously has been sitting pretty much on top, I think. And then underneath that, it's like The Office. And then underneath that, it's The Queen's Gambit. And then like Schitt's Creek and all these other shows that have been off the air for a little while. And, you know, whoever can get, you know, the most of these is ultimately going to get the most traffic because that's the content that people are just like binging constantly.
But that's the thing that I think people... I don't really understand the mindset of some people when it comes to streaming services because they're like, oh, there's nothing on there because there's nothing new. Which, are you just watching for new stuff? If that's all it is, say that. But it's a different argument.
Yeah.
The archive of content on some of these is just crazy good, but you have to be the right person for that library of content. Like I see people say all the time, like, oh, there's nothing to watch on Disney Plus. Well, maybe if you're, you know, 28 years old, single dude, you know, it's not like really designed for you. Like you're in that window where you're not quite the target audience at the moment, generally speaking. Of course, there are 28 year old single dudes that love Disney.
But
if you're me, three kids under the age of 10, Disney Plus, that archive, we fire that up every single day.
There's
countless things that we could be watching. And like, it's so good for families. It's an unbelievable deal for families.
That
archive 100%. Isn't for everybody. And so that's where I think people think about these sometimes a little bit weird. Like you have to think, what's the purpose of the streaming services? What are they? Who's their target audience? What are they trying to offer? And, you know, some of these legacy archives, like HBO's there's a lot in there. It is crazy.
That's the sort of interesting point. I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but that's the interesting like state that we're in right now is legacy content is becoming just as valuable, if not more valuable, than what's the newest thing on that platform. Like HBO Max has Friends, and I'm sure it's the most popular thing on that platform right now. You know, Netflix has The Office and like Schitt's Creek and all that stuff, and it's like people are going to watch the new stuff. And like, obviously there's been a major audience for The Queen's Gambit, which is Netflix original, which is great for them. But like, they're going there and they're going to watch the stuff that they want to rewatch that they know and love and that they're just binging on end. So it's a really interesting, you know, time that we're living in where the legacy content is that important. But going back here into the article here, basically a couple more statements here from people involved with Warner Media and Sarnoff, who is the CEO of Warner Media Studios and Networks. She cited that we're living in unprecedented times that calls for creative solutions, a big thing here. And then she goes on to say the following: no one wants films back on the big screens more than we do. We know new content is the lifeblood of theatrical exhibition, but we have to balance this with the reality that most theaters in the U.S. will likely operate at reduced capacity throughout 2021. Another thing to keep in mind, even if theaters do open, it's not going to be full capacity, so they got to be able to make some of that money back regardless. She then goes on to say that with this unique one-year plan, we can support our partners in exhibition with a steady pipeline of world-class films while also giving moviegoers who may not have access to theaters or aren't quite ready to go back to the movies the chance to see our amazing amazing 2021 films. We see it as a win-win for film lovers and exhibitors, and we're extremely grateful that our filmmaking partners for working, they're grateful for our filmmaking partners for working with us on this innovative response to these circumstances. And then a couple, you know, more quotes here from the people in charge of it. But the big thing here is that that's sort of where we're at right now with this. Whether studios will follow suit is that's the next thing. You know, what's Disney going to do? What's Paramount going to do with their new streaming service? What's Universal going to do? Does this push their hand, or are they going to wait and see how Wonder Woman 1984 plays out before making any decisions? Sean, where do you see this kind of going next?
Yeah, that's what's really interesting. What does everybody else do after this? And I think they'd be wise to just see what happens. Let Warner Brothers do their experiment. No matter what, they're just copying them at this point. So yeah. Wait to see if you're copying something wise, or wait till you see if you're copying something stupid. So I wouldn't rush into it if it was them. But I think one of the key things they mentioned in there is that theaters are operating at limited capacity. I think more importantly, people do not feel safe going to theaters yet. I've gone to the theater about once a week since they opened back up. So I maybe have been 10 times. I don't know. 8 times. But a good number of times since August. Maybe it's September. I don't know. 2020, it all kind of meshes together. And it's been empty every single time. Whether it's opening night, whether it's middle of the day, whether it's going to go see Ninja Turtles, Freaky, Tenet, hasn't been even close to a kind of cozy theater. When I saw Tenet, we had a row to ourselves, me and my buddies. Everything was empty. People were like, did you feel safe in a room with recycled air conditioning? I didn't see anyone else in the theater. Now it's like this, and you have rows and recliners. So I literally just couldn't see them because of that. But there wasn't enough people that you saw the other humans in the room with you. The lobby is empty. There's one person in front of you in line. So you're just like, there's no reason to stand by them. So you're not near anyone the entire time. People are not going to the theater.
Yeah.
So, and I think they're paying attention to that. Like, okay, you know, in the comments, people are mentioning, oh, 2 vaccines coming. Do you think they're jumping the gun? Well, yeah. I think they're jumping the gun because they're not waiting to see what happens with Wonder Woman. I think that's in making a whole plan for your year. That's bold. So I think they're jumping the gun in that regard. But even with the vaccine coming out, people aren't going to rush out to the theater. It's not going to be available to everyone.
And right.
There's states that are just very cautious. And I'm in Central Texas. I'm in the suburbs. I'm around a lot of very libertarian. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want. What do you mean? I'm not going to wear a mask and leave. I'm in that space. There's no one at the movies. Like, people aren't doing stuff.
Yeah.
And whether it's just because they don't want to go through the hassle of the hoops of wearing a mask, whatever reason, they're not going to the theater.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because everyone's like looking at the fact that in this, you know, this, you could really take this into many different facets of life, not just, you know, going to consume entertainment. Just because we have a vaccine doesn't mean things are going to change.
Yeah.
The vaccines aren't even going to be readily available until, I don't even know. Like for the masses, at least, like, you know, next spring, you know, like we are not even close. We are not even close to being able to say, oh, we can go out and, you know, hang out with people and do stuff in public again. That's just not a feasible thing. And based on, you know, what Warner Brothers has obviously consulted with these epidemiologists and other people who are, you know, more informed and understand the state of the world right now, and they've spoken with them and they've been like, yeah, maybe a checkerboard release is probably your best bet, because this thing's going to have ramifications. If you get the vaccine out there, there's still going to be those people who are like, well, you know, I don't really want to go out and be in a crowd full of people. Like, the social implications of this whole thing are far from being over.
Right. And, you know, with all of this, every single piece of this is unprecedented. Anyone that thinks they have it figured out, anyone thinks, oh, we've got this, therefore this, no. We don't know what's going on now. We haven't known what's going on because it's never happened before, anything like this in the modern era. Therefore, everyone's just trying to do their best with the information that they have. And I don't know if this is a good choice. I really do think it's weird that they announced it before Wonder Woman. That is, to me, is very weird.
Well, here's the thing that I don't think enough people are talking about either, is they could very well change their minds like halfway through the year. They could reevaluate if this vaccine comes out and like people feel more comfortable going out in public. Maybe they say, okay, you know, maybe we can make a good majority of our money in theaters.
Sell annual passes to HBO Max on the promise of all these movies, and then March 1st. Just kidding. Theaters are opening back up. That'd be amazing. But that to me is like, I don't blame studios for trying something different. That's what we've been saying. I think they need to do. They need to explore different creative options. And so from my perspective, a business trying to generate revenue, trying to find a way to get their product out to the market, you have to flex, you have to bend, you have to pay attention to what's happening. And I am not going to fault Warner Brothers for doing that.
No, not at all. I think it's ultimately like it's, you know, it's very sad for the fact that this could be the way that things end up going permanently, which I do think it will. They'll say that, yo, we're going to preserve the theatrical experience. And I do believe that to an extent. I do believe that they'll try and preserve it for big tentpole films like, you know, superhero blockbusters and maybe the next Christopher Nolan movie, if he's still with Warner Brothers at this point.
maybe that's where, why was he so adamant about getting Tenet out? Because he knew this is what was happening. He's like, you're not doing that to my movie. I am not doing that. And so, throw it out early. It'll make $30 million in the U.S. People might write articles about how my movie didn't do well, but at least I released it the way that I want it to be seen without this stuff.
I guess Sean, was there any other points that you wanted to make before we start to wrap this thing up here? And again, before we make our final statements, be sure again, let us know your thoughts and opinions on this whole, you know, industry shakeup in the live chat if you're watching live, or in the comments section below if you're watching this on the replay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a huge thing we haven't talked about in all of this that I think is ultimately the biggest factor. This announcement means that in 2021, I can actually make a content calendar and stick to it.
It's good for us. It's good for us.
Yeah, this is very good for me and you. 2020, it's brutal because, you know, obviously we review movies, we talk about movies, and they pulled all of them.
Yeah.
Makes it tough to do what we do. It's tough to interview people for their new release that didn't come out. And so right off the bat, that's just kind of good news. But I think there is something calming about knowing something is actually going to happen.
Right.
Part of the perpetual uncertainty, if you're a movie fan at all, it's a lot. If you have skin in the game like us, you feel it a lot more. But even if you're just a movie fan and you just want to see they announce a date and feel that's going to happen. Have confidence and not just feel like everything is shifting constantly. There's an anxiety that comes with that uncertainty.
Yeah.
And when everything is in flux and kids that go into college, like, I don't know if I should go back. Kids aren't knowing when they're going to be able to go to school or when it's going to get shut down because of a new containment or whatever. Having dates that are actually happening. We knowing we're going to get Warner Brothers movies, and there's a lot on there that I was excited to see them this year. And then some of them, like The Suicide Squad from James Gunn. We're going to get it. Dune, we know we're going to get it. There's a certain movies are happening again. I like that.
There is something really funny, though, about the first time that we get to see two titans of the kaiju genre on screen together in a very long time. The first time we get to see them fighting together is going to be on a TV, most likely.
I know I'll watch it on my phone just because I can. Liam, look at this, buddy. Get the whole family. Quibi style.
Maybe Quibi was onto something here. It wasn't all for nothing.
They were just 6 months too early. If they just had waited till 2021, they would have been right at the perfect time.
Yeah, that's for sure. I guess
rest in peace, Quibi.
Right. Yeah. R.I.P. My last thing would be I toss it to the other studios. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond to this? Disney has their shareholders meeting next week. are they going to finally drop Black Widow on their streaming platform, or are they going to hold out for this theatrical experience? Listen, Toby Emmerich, in that article, he said that we have content just sitting on a shelf and people are starved for content and they mm-hmm. want it. And so why not find a way to make a hybrid and bring it all together? Mm-hmm. And that's what the other studios should be doing. Yeah. I think Universal probably needs to be considering this with F9, No Time to Die, all their stuff, because there's no way in hell they're going to make $1 billion in this market, yeah. At least doing what they normally do. It's just, it's not going to happen. And I think Disney is going to need to, you know, recognize that that's something that they need to do. I don't know. I'll be really curious to see what the next studio is to lay out a similar plan or something like that.
Right. And I think what you said in there is very true, that people are starved for content. Obviously, we skipped a year of movies, but beyond that, we're stuck at home. There's all these things that have been canceled. There's just less things that we can do. We're not doing very much stuff. Even when I do have free time, even when my wife and I can't have a free date night in Texas where more things are open than in most places, we don't even want to jump through the hoops though.
Yeah.
Through all of it. So we stay home just because it's a little bit of wisdom to it. And life is a little bit more complicated out and about. So people want content.
Yeah.
And smart business, what do? You flex, you adjust, you read the market. Everyone's at home, so let's put our movies so that they can watch them at home. And if you want your streaming service to become the must-have, if you want to pass Netflix, Warner Brothers, they're playing a hand.
They're making a swing, and you know, only time will tell as to whether this gamble is going to work out. But I think they're going to find that there is a. It's going to favor them quite a bit going forward in the new year. But again, guys, be sure to let us know your thoughts and opinions on this whole news down in the comment section below or in the chat if you're watching us live. Thank you so much for joining us here. If you haven't done so already, be sure to like this video, share it with your friends. Let's get the conversation going. I think there's so much to discuss with this, and we really barely scratched the surface. Share it around, and then don't be afraid to subscribe to the Film Speak channel if you want to continue that conversation in with the rest of the content that we have over here, movie reviews, TV recaps, video essays, all that good stuff. We'd love to have you be a part of the community over here. Thank you so much, Sean, for joining me on this stream. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on YouTube. Just search for Sean Chandler. You either find a football player or a guy that looks like me. It's the guy that looks like me.
It's that guy right there. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. the birthday stash.
Yeah,
the birthday stash.
I'm getting close to 40, and I decided to start my midlife crisis. So it's going to be an exciting year for me as I make unwise choices.
I hope that translates into the content as well. Not unwise content, but, you know, just like exciting content, you know.
Exciting, irresponsible, controversial content as I try and restore my rebellious youth.
Yes, right. Because that's what we've come to expect from Sean Chandler.
Of course.
Of course. Anyways, guys, you can always like FilmSpeak on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, just search FilmSpeak. And if you like me specifically and you like what I have to say, you can give me a follow on Twitter at Griff Schiller. All right, that's going to do it for this stream, guys. Thank you all for joining us, and we will catch you next time. Take care.